very welcome to a Lorna Parka Munster Championship special here on WLR. It's Moss McCarthy here till 7 o'clock. The show is brought to you by our new sponsors, Waterford Insulation and Carbon Electrical, Westside Business Park, Old Kilmeaden Road, Waterford. We've a lot to pack in over the next hour with three Waterford teams in provincial action over the weekend. Peter Queeley, Cyril Farrell, Paul Shankey and Michelle Ryan all coming up on this week's show. So let's dive straight in.
2.25, 2.23. Kilkenny go long. Killian goes long. Tyke de Burke is there. Whose ball? Who gets the breaking ball? In it comes is the Clash Moore man. He's on his bike there. The man with the cruciate. Running like a thoroughbred horse. And he's a thoroughbred hurler. Lovely ball.
What a Tyke score. Tyke de Burke. That is fantastic.
Billy O'Hanlon will be organising a statue for him.
A classic piece of commentary there from Kieran O'Connor from the 2020 All-Ireland semi-final between Waterford and Kilkenny. And I'm playing that because Tyke de Burke is back in the Waterford defence for Sunday's big match against Cork. The Clashmore Kinsale big man has been out of action for almost a year since he suffered that Achilles injury in last year's loss to Limerick. David Fitzgerald named the Waterford team on Thursday night and it goes as follows. Sean O'Brien of De La Salle between the posts. A full backline of Mark Fitzgerald of Passage, Conor Prunty of Abbeyside and Irla Daly of Lismore. Half backline Kieran Bennett of Ballysaggart, the aforementioned Tyke de Burke of Clashmore Kinsale Beg and Darragh Lyons of Dungarvan. At midfield, Jamie Barron of Four Mile Water making his 100th senior appearance for the Daisha, partnered by Neil Montgomery of Abbeyside. Half forward line then of Caelum Lyons, Ballyloflower, Kevin Mahoney, Ballygunner, and Stephen Bennett, Ballysaggart. And the Daisha full forward line, Desi Hutchinson of Ballygunner, Michael Coyley of Abbeyside, and Jack Prendergast of Lismore. Waterford versus Cork will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on Sunday. Kieran O'Connor and Brian Flannery in the commentary box, and our coverage starts at 3:45. Well, earlier in the week, I caught up with Daisha selector Peter Queeley before training in the Gold Coast, and I asked him firstly about a recent training camp in Portugal.
Sure, look, it was brilliant. Like as all these camps are, like for any team, like you're going away from the wet and the cold here. You know, you're getting that bit of heat into the bodies. You know, with that heat comes the chance to work that bit harder. You know, the recovery is that bit easier. You know, there's the whole bonding side of it. You know, we're together there for 5 days, working hard together, bonding that bit more. And also then there's the time then to work on other stuff, you know, like analysis and looking at the opposition and looking at ourselves and stuff. So in that 5 days, we got through a lot of work, a lot of good work, and we're glad for it. And I think it has helped us.
What did you learn from this year's league, Peter?
What did we learn? Look, we struggled as regards results. We know we were competitive in every game. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to be condescending of any Waterford hurling person. Being competitive isn't good enough at this stage. You know, we craved results that we didn't get. You know, we were hoping to go further in it, hoping to go the whole way. You know, but. Unfortunately, a couple of results went against us. You know, we had our lulls. I know Davey identified it, and after one or two games that we had a third quarter fade out. I suppose when we look back on it, you've kind of touched on it already, you know, about our injuries, and we're bringing fellas back. And when you bring fellas back in, and they're just coming back from a 2 or 3 month injury, you know, it's hard to expect them to last 70 minutes. And I suppose that's something that we oversaw and didn't factor in. So these guys were coming in, they were starting games, and I suppose just the fitness then kind of caught up maybe in that third quarter. Whereas, again, there was a trend there in matches where, you know, we came good for the last 15, 20 minutes, and I think that's when we brought on fresh legs, fresh bodies, you know, kind of turn games. So I suppose they're the kind of lessons we learned, like, you know, that it was about getting game time into fellas. Unfortunately, our results didn't go for us because of that. We were very competitive in every game. You know, a couple of little things might have helped us to get the result. Even a simple thing like, you know, free take. And I think the day that Stephen got injured against Clare, he was on the freeze. He started on him. He went off with 20 minutes to go, and I think we had about 4 scoreable frees in that last 15 minutes that Stephen on his day would probably put over. We ended up losing by 1 or 2 points, you know. So little things like that went against us. And, you know, so they're kind of the lessons that we learned and stuff.
How concerned would you be as a management team about those missed frees, Peter, especially given the injury concerns that Stephen has had recently?
We're not overly concerned, Tomás, you know, because if you look at our squad, our panel, we've a lot of very good free takers. So we've worked hard on it in the last 2 months. We've identified our top 3 or 4 free takers. They've worked hard. They've got out on the pitch. We've identified now who our free taker will be, who our backup will be, who will be our long-range free taker. So, you know, these are little things that we probably took for granted because of Stephen's, how would you put it, fabulous performances in the last 10 years at free taking, you know, along with Pádraig Manny. We kind of take our free taking for granted. When Stephen got injured, then we're kind of looking around saying, lads, you know, who's backing up here? Who's next? Like, you know, so you're kind of picking names out of the hat and throwing it at fellas who mightn't be used to taking frees, like, even though they are very good free takers, mightn't have been practicing, you know, but it's something now that we've focused in on and worked on in training, and we've kind of identified our top 3 or 4 now, which you probably need in most inter-county teams.
What do you want to see from the players when they hit the field against Cork, Peter?
Look, we want a savage intensity from savage work rate. We want to hit the ground running. You know, we want to, I think, if we think back on last year, I suppose both our opening games, you know, I know we got a lot of credit for our first round performance against Limerick, but if we look back on it, you know, we were probably 8 or 9 points down against the 3 or 4 in a row All-Ireland champions. You can't afford to have them lulls, you know, so and then the following week, you know, we use excuses that we're tired after the Limerick game and stuff, but again, that first 15 minutes, we were flat, we weren't good. So what we really need to do here is we need to hit the ground running from the throw-in on Sunday. We need to bring a savage intensity and ferocious work rate and take it from there. I think we'd be okay if we can get that, you know, if we bring our A game and bring that intensity, that work rate, we'll be okay.
What would be a successful Munster Championship in your view?
We have to come out of it, Tomás. We have to, you know, we have to emerge from Munster. You know, we're not going to look backwards. We're looking forward. You know, we all know at this stage it's well documented how poor our record has been, without going into it in detail. You know, so success is just coming out, be it that in first, second, third place, whatever it is, just to be in one of them top three. Not anything other than that is another disaster for us.
You've had many battles on the field with Cork over the years, Peter. Did you ever come across Pat Ryan in your time?
I played with Pat for 2 years, Tomás. I was with Sarsfields in Cork there when I was stationed in Cork in 1998 and 1999. So both of us were midfield together for Sarsfields there for a couple of club championships. I know him well. I was back there again a couple of seasons ago doing a bit of coaching with him. Pat's a really nice guy. He's one of the nice guys there out there. Well got in Cork, well got in Sarsfields. Brilliant coach, you know, he's dipping his toes into inter-county management now, and he's doing quite well. And unfortunately, that old teammate thing will be put aside on Sunday. You know, we're in opposite corners now, and I know he's a ferocious competitor. He knows I am as well, you know, so we'll be going loggerheads at each other, and hopefully both of us will keep our cool on the line.
What type of player was he?
Very stylish, very skillful hurler. Very, very skillful, very stylish. The first year that I was in Sarsfields back in 1998, we're actually marking each other in a National League final, and he was a handful. Like, he's very wristy, very skillful, well able to get a score from the middle of the field, good link player, you know, good engine on him. So that's the kind of player he is.
Yeah, was it any surprise to you that he became Cork manager?
Not really, you know. I knew he was very enthusiastic. He comes from a great hurling family, great hurling club, like, you know. I wasn't overly surprised, you know. I would have had good chats with him back in when we were playing together, and his knowledge of hurling and the technical side of it was second to none.
And are you still based in the All Garda Station, Peter?
No, thankfully, Tomás. I retired 2 months ago, so I can't keep the smile off my face now at the moment, you know, with having that extra bit of time to myself and I miss you all. I miss you all people. We have great crack, great banter down through the years, you know, and it was always GA orientated. You know, it's a savage East Cork, is a savage hurling place, like, you know, so you'll always have plenty ball hopping and stuff, you know, and I've no doubt there'll be a big East Cork contingent in Welsh Park on Sunday again.
Yeah, I know you have no control over the crowd, Peter, but what do you make of the fact that the Cork fans are set to outnumber Waterford now for this match on Sunday?
Sure, won't lie to you, disappointed, Tomás. You know, I played in an era in the late 90s, early noughties, when, you know, we were never outnumbered. You know, no matter where we went, Waterford always had a fantastic support, the best supporters ever. I always said it, and anyone that played with me always said it, like, you know, and it meant a lot to us, like, you know, and it is disappointing to hear that we more than likely will be outnumbered in Welsh Park. Having said that, I'm not overly surprised. You know, I have seen the drop-off. You know, you do notice it on the sideline, like, you know, that the crowds have dwindled in the last couple of years for a number of reasons, you know. But having said that, we can't cry about it. We can't give out about it. We just have to try and change people's mindset around it now, and hopefully we get a good result, a good performance, and people maybe will start getting behind the team then again.
Well, Waterford hurling selector Peter Queeley, thanks a million for your time this evening, and all the best in the Munster Championship.
Cheers, Tomás. Thank you.
Lore Naporka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So I'm joined in the line now by one of our regular analysts throughout the season. That's All-Ireland winning manager with Galway, Cyril Farrell, to preview this weekend's action and give us his top three in Munster and Leinster. Cyril, a pretty quiet build-up around Waterford ahead of Sunday. What do you think we'll see from David Fitzgerald's side?
Yeah, I'm expecting a big shock, to tell you the truth. Like, they've been quiet during the league, missing a lot of players, but I know all these injured lads are nearly back, and, like, knowing David, he'll have them ready, he'll have them primed for this one. This is a very important match, their first game at home in a couple of seasons, and, like, you win this game, puts them right on track.
How do you think Waterford will set up against this Cork team, Cyril?
Well, knowing Davey, like, he'll probably play like 6-1. I think the middle third will be crowded, you know what I mean? He won't want to allow Cork. I saw a video of the last game Cork played in the league there against Wexford. Wexford were going well at the time, and Tomás, within the first 2 minutes, Cork had raced into a good lead, gone out of sight. If you give them room to dance, they'll dance. You just can't let them, you can't afford to let them get away from the first 10 or 15 minutes. If you do, the game is over, right? So I expect Waterford to sit up and make it very physical around the middle, where to make it a dogfight to keep, kind of keep down the scores early on anyway.
We saw Waterford going for a lot of long-range scores in the early part of the league, Cyril, but against Kilkenny there was more direct ball into Desi Hutchison and Shane Bennett inside in the full forward line. I think we'll see more of that this weekend.
You probably will, you know, like Stephen Bennett's back to himself again, and sure, Hutchison side and Young Fitzgerald, like, you have the forwards, and like Ty DeVorkas was coming back as well, Prunty and these guys, they're going to be a big asset, the Cotton Lions, they're going to be a big asset to the team. All of a sudden, like, these are experienced players, whereas, like, Cork have a lot of good stuff coming through, but the only thing, like, is Cork, you're kind of, they know they have the potential, but they have to do it yet. Whereas Waterford, like, these guys are around a lot longer, and, you know, I just have a feeling Cork will be underestimating them a bit.
You mentioned Tadhg Na Bhfear there, Cyril. He looks set to feature at centre-back after his long layoff. How much of an addition will he be?
Sure, Tomás, he'll be an addition to any team. Like, a fine player, very unlucky with injuries. Like, it shows the calibre of the man to get back after two cruciates, like, you know, and back in for the championship. Like, he won't let the side down. Like, he's a big plus to have back. Not alone the way he plays, but his leadership qualities as well on the field. Like, you know, he'll inspire all the rest around him.
And Jamie Barron is set to make his 100th senior appearance for Waterford on Sunday.
Sure.
Cyril, what does he bring to this Waterford team?
Jamie Thomas is like a pocket rocket. Sure, like, he's everywhere. He's a great player, pops up here and there. Like, again, he's a great man to have in the engine room, and he's back to himself again. That's what I'm saying. Like, Waterford have the players that have proved themselves, and if they all come together on the day, like, anything could happen.
What way do you see it going in Welsh Park on Sunday, Cyril?
I just have the feeling, though, maybe I'm completely wrong, like, Cork are hot favourites, and they've been coming every year, and they have, like, there's no doubt about this great talent there, and they have their next game at home, but I just have the feeling that I think Waterford will shock everyone on Sunday and win.
Wow, that'll really be music to the ears of all the Waterford fans listening in, Cyril. Looking at the first game in Munster, it's going to be a full house in Cusick Park for Clare versus Limerick. Do you think Clare are the closest challengers to Limerick at the moment?
Well, they probably are in Munster anyway, because, like their best games are in Munster, and they proved it last year. Like, they ran into a point or two and beat them in a match. You know, very unlucky in another match. Like, so, you know, these guys, they know another very well. The form goes out the door. The only thing is, Tomás, that Limerick have the few weeks off and they've been aiming at what, like when Waterford play in a league final, you'll find that Limerick are away training and aiming for, or when Tip or when Clare in the league final, they were aiming for Clare from a good bit out. They'll be very focused on them. It's going to be hard on Clare, like they will have the following sold out already, around 20,000 tickets gone. But they're kind of in their own minds, only their favourites, which puts that little bit of extra pressure on. But it's a game I won't ever look forward to.
How much would you read into Limerick's league semi-final loss to Kilkenny?
Ah, they were off the boil a bit, and yet they probably could have won it. But like Kilkenny, like played well that day, like, and you know Kilkenny are hard to beat. Okay, they lost the league final, but like their free taking, you could say if the free taking was up to form, they'd nearly have won it. I wouldn't read too much in it because, like the last 10 or 15 minutes, John Kiely started taking off all the big names. And even the following Tuesdays of that game, Tomás, they were flying out to Portugal to train. Like whether they won that or not, they were still going training. It's more, they're more interested. They're not, they'd want to win a Munster, but that won't worry them, Tomás. All they worry them is to get out of Munster because they believe that they'll play a lot better in Croke Park.
These two always seem to produce classics. Cyril, who do you think will come out on top?
Yeah, well, there'll be no tactic on Sunday because they're going to be held for leather. Just have a feeling like, you know, that Limerick or the Clare are the farm team. I suppose if they're ever going to do it, you'd imagine they'd do it on Sunday.
And who do you think will be the three teams to emerge from Munster, Cyril?
Well, I think, like looking at the form at the moment, I think Limerick and Clare, and for the kind of the outside bet, to me, they could still cause surprise with Waterford. But the two games at home, very important to start off with a win. They could actually fly. No, they're not. They're in tip by everyone to not to come out. I just have the feeling that they cause a surprise.
Yeah, well, you're one of the few to tip Waterford to emerge from the top three in Munster, Cyril. Turning to Leinster, the biggest game is Wexford versus Dublin on Sunday in Wexford Park. Who do you fancy in this one?
Well, I suppose Wexford have home advantage and they should make a count. But Dublin played Limerick there lately in a challenge game and played very well, led for most of the game. Two full teams out, Dublin dictated the play very, very fast. And for a change, they were finishing. The chances they were getting, like usually in all the matches, Tomás, they get chances, but they don't finish. You know what I mean? But Wexford will feel at home, they should win. Had a good league until they came across Cork and came a cropper, just gave them too much space, and the next thing, the game was gone. But that's a vital game, because whoever wins that, Tomás, will be favourites to come out, along with Galway and Kilkenny out of Leinster.
And speaking of Galway, Cyril, Johnny Glynn is back for their game against Carlow. What sort of a difference will he make to the attack?
Well, he's a big man, 6'5" or 6", very good in the air, good to lay it off. The only thing is, like, it's a while since he played inter-county, you know, at that level. And there will be the feeling around, like, if it goes well, it'll be great for the championship all year. But if it doesn't go well, of course, like, they'll be saying, well, where are all the young lads gone to? What's the point in training 3 or 4 months over the winter and they can walk back in? But that's the way it is. Like, he's that kind of a character. He's home for the few months, I think, which is great, rather than coming and going.
Another prediction, Cyril, your top three in Leinster this year?
I think it'll be Galway, Kilkenny and probably Wexford.
And if I was to push you for your Liam McCarthy winners at this stage of the season?
Well, everyone is saying Limerick now, but I really believe that if Galway got a run, like if they got a run, they'd be very hard to stop. They still have the hurdles, like, you know, like they won't be favourites at all Ireland anything, but like to me, like it's Henry's third year in. He has to win a kind of a Leinster title. They'll be going bald-headed for that. And if they start winning that tomorrow, like they're in the semi-final straight away, like if they started winning, they could improve a ton. It's a big, big year for a lot of them hurlers because they've been around a while, you know. And this, to me, like, is their kind of, if it comes good, well and good. And if it doesn't, well, a lot of them be kind of say, I don't think they'll be dropping. I'd say they'll be kind of pulling out themselves, you know.
Well, Cyril Farrell, always an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Enjoy all the games over the weekend.
Looking forward to Tomás, no problem.
Tearing forward as he has been right from the get-go here. Gets the ball away to Colin Dunford. Likes the open spaces. The Collingham Express gone inside the 65. Flicks the ball away to Jamie in space. Jamie's gone in near the 20-metre line. Chance for Jamie. What can he do? Back into that goal! What a goal for Waterford!
Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So I'm here with Waterford football manager Paul Shankey, ahead of Saturday's Munster semi-final against Clare in Fraher Field. It's going to be the first of our George Corbis Skoda big matches this weekend. I'll be joining Kieran O'Connor in the commentary box and our coverage starts at 5:45. First of all, Paul, what have the last 2 weeks been like since that win over Tipperary?
Tomás, yeah, it's been great. Like, it's just, you know, it seems like a long time ago now, you said 2 weeks. We had a great week, and you know it's good to have the 2 week break, so it gives lads an opportunity to come down from the bit of the high of beating Tipperary, And obviously then the focus then from very quickly was on the next game.
Just to dwell on that Tipperary win for a couple of moments, Paul, like you've said from day one that the talent is here in Waterford. How satisfying was it to see those players get the recognition and the coverage after that victory?
Yeah, well, they got a good bit of coverage, which was great. It's always good to see. That's great for the lads. But to be fair, you know, it was it's good. It's brilliant, fantastic for the group, and hopefully it'll bring us on a ton. You know, increase the confidence. As I said before, you know, the players. There's good players in Waterford. It's just a case of us getting organised and mentally switched on. But obviously, as a group, we're delighted with the result. The performance, there's a lot to work on. You know, at half time, we weren't too best pleased. But to be fair to the lads, they really lifted it in the second half and drove it on. And hopefully, it's based on that second half performance that we can improve further. And the good news is there's room for further improvement. And we know we have to improve to compete on Saturday night.
What do you hope a result like that will do for Waterford football in the short term, Paul?
Sure, it's hard to say. Like it's there's no long term. So it's just hard work. The lads have put in a lot of hard work. You don't always get what you deserve in sport. You know, it's sport. That's the great thing about it. You think you're going well, and it kicks, gives you a kick, and you think you're going bad, and you get a result. But it's just good for everyone's confidence and morale. But the important thing is to improve on it. Like that's. It's long. 2 weeks ago. It's over now. So the main thing is to drive on from that second half performance. You know, the main thing, even in the first half, what I was really pleased about is we kept ourselves in the game, even though we weren't playing well. And that's encouraging. You know, there's going to be periods in games you're not going to play great. You just have to, you know, suck it up and sit tight. And then when you have the chance, then take your chances. And in the second half, We took our chances, and hopefully that's the learning curve for the group.
Just a couple of more questions on that Tipperary game, Paul, before we move on. How many messages did you get that Sunday night following that win?
It was like, to be fair, it's great. Like, you know, it's great to get messages from people and everyone wishing as well. Some of the lads got great coverage, and it's not too often you see Waterford football on the Sunday game for the right reasons, and that's great. That's fantastic. And it's a slap in the back or a kick in the rear is only a couple of inches away. So we know we take the highs and the lows. There's no major drama based on that. But it is fantastic to get well wishes, and hopefully that will drive the crowd to come out and support the team on Saturday evening.
Did you get any messages from your former Meade teammates or managers?
Yeah, I don't know. We're the famous WhatsApp groups, so everyone's in them. Yeah, no, you always get a bit of slagging and a bit of, but for the most part, it's always very, very complimentary, and they're delighted. We're doing well. There's some a lot of Waterford fans all of a sudden.
That's good to hear. Liam Fennell is back from suspension. How much of a boost is that to the group, Paul?
Liam's great. You know, all the Fennells, they're great lads, and Liam has, even though he's only 22 or 3. He feels like he's one of the elder statesmen. He's one of the more experienced guys. So yeah, it was disappointing to obviously lose his experience, but it's fantastic. He has trained as hard as anyone as well, and while I was frustrated not to be part of the match day, they were brilliant, himself and Dermot, in terms of encouraging the lads and leading it at half time, and we're delighted to have him back in the group for Sunday or Saturday.
What areas do you need to improve on from the last day?
Well, as I said, I think before, every time we go out, we're looking to improve. We're constantly, that's probably our key thing. You know, it's far field, you know, hopefully the wind won't be as significant. It was, everyone keeps talking about this wind, but it was quite difficult to play with it. But we'd be hoping to obviously notch up more scores. You know, we're creating the chances. That's the main thing. We even in the first half, we did kick a number of wides. And in the second half also, we kind of, we'd actually a couple of goal chances that we missed in the first half and the second half. So at this level, you have to, when you're creating the chances, you have to be converting them. So we'd be looking to obviously improve the scoreboard, but that's easy said.
It's a very novel occasion, Paul, both the men's and ladies teams in action. How much of a difference would a vocal home crowd make on Saturday evening?
Yeah, it's brilliant to have the two senior football teams playing in Fairfield. It's fantastic. And we're delighted to hopefully encourage as many boys and girls out and locals to come out and support both teams, because they put in a savage effort. And, you know, it's fantastic to have that, to have their occasion at home. And Dungarvan will be buzzing with the food festival and everything. So hopefully we'll give additional people. We'd encourage as many people to come in, particularly all the kids, come in and watch and bring their colours.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of clear colours in the stand as well. Paul, what sort of a challenge are you expecting from them on this occasion?
Yeah, really impressed with Clare. To be fair, they've been operating in Division 2, Division 3, even last year in Division 2. They've been beating teams like Cork and Drawn with Meath. So they've been operating at a very high level consistently. And it's a kind of a county Waterford should be aspiring to have a look at and seeing how they do things, because obviously hurling is quite strong there, but you can see they have a very powerful football setup. But that's the barometer we want to get to and get past. At club level, there'd be no team from Waterford would fear any team from Clare. There's massive respect there, and you know, we'll have to bring our A game to compete against them.
Paul Shankey, Waterford Football Manager, thanks for your time as always, and all the best on Saturday evening.
Cheers, Tomás, thanks very much.
Lorne na Pórca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford under 20 hurlers will take the field very shortly in Dungarvan against Tipperary. No Patrick Fitzgerald for Ken McGrath's team, as he is expected to feature for the seniors on Sunday. There's three changes from the loss to Cork, as Scott Fleming, Joseph O'Keefe and Brian O'Callaghan all start. Throw-in for that one is at 7 o'clock. A big weekend also for the Waterford Minor Camogie team. Mark English's side face Cork on Sunday in the All-Ireland A semi-final. That game takes place in Kilcommon, County Tipperary, and throw-in is at 2 o'clock. Looking back to Tuesday night, the Waterford Minor footballers got their first Munster Championship win since 2019. The Daisha got the better of Limerick by 3-10 to 13 points in Lemmy Bryan. Paddy McCarthy, David Nyhan and Joe Brennan all found the net. And afterwards, I caught up with an ecstatic Waterford manager, Paul Power.
Look, Tomás, it's hard to put into words, to be honest. Like, you see the excitement amongst the boys and all the families and the supporters. In fairness, we had a great crowd again tonight. Like, and it just, I don't know, I think this group are after earning that bit of respect. Like, after the exhibition we gave above in Quilty the night, like, kind of thing, and just came up a little short that night. It probably makes it a little sorer now, the fact that, you know, if we had got that result, like, and after the exhibition they gave tonight, like, kind of thing, like, we should be facing the Munster semi-final realistically, like, kind of thing. But look, we'll go into the All-Ireland series now and we'll take it from there and we'll see what happens.
Paddy McCarthy and Joe Brennan got 2-9 between them tonight. Yeah, Paul, yeah. How good are those two?
Look, they're top drawer. Like, you know, I'm matching these lads. I'm involved with this kind of age group, I suppose, since... You know, they've all been under sevens and eights, and from us, Rog Army Day has gone down to play the Brickies and Strablies and the Noirs and all these clubs, you know, Ballycorties, Dungarvans, you can go on naming them, like in Tremors there and in Blitzes and, you know, all them things. Like, these are lads, they care, they were all loving that. You see them over in the group there now, like, they loved the big ball, that kind of thing. And these lads have hopped off each other for the last 12 years, that kind of thing. But back to your comment about Paddy and Mac and Joe and a lot more of them there as well. Lads are top drawer players. Like, them boys, as I said to you there in the last week or two, Tomás as well, like, they want to go on and play for Paul Shankey's side. Do you know what I mean? They want to go out and win a Division 4 league title. And they want to go on and beat Tips and Clare now hopefully next Saturday evening again, like, kind of thing, in Munster Senior Championship. Like, they love it, like, you can see it, and there's a great bond in the group as well, like, kind of thing, and they've great respect from each other from 1 down to 32 the whole way through the squad. Like, so it's brilliant, it's a joy to be involved with them, like, kind of thing. Sometimes results don't go your way. We were squeaky bum time there the last couple of minutes, and there again tonight. Look, I suppose we're lucky with such a huge lead from the first half, but no, they closed it out and they done their job and they settled in, you know, in the last 10 minutes and again, and we closed it out, so it was great, like, anything. So,
Lorne na Pórca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So, the Waterford ladies are also part of this mega Munster Championship weekend. Pat Sullivan's side start their round robin campaign against Cork at 3:45 in Fairfield on Saturday. And former Daisha forward Michelle Ryan is on the line to preview this one. And first off, Michelle, what do you make of the fact that this is being played as a curtain raiser to the men's game on Saturday?
Absolutely delighted, Tomás. I mean, in my honest opinion, it doesn't happen enough. And that's not just in Waterford, it's kind of across the board. I think there have been the odd fixture here and there. And when it happens, I suppose, in big county grounds, in other counties, like a big deal is made of it. And look, it's only right and proper that it should be. I mean, I've said on the record so many times that, you know, a lot of the GAA and ladies football and camogie players come from the same families. And whether they're cousins or whether they're brothers or sisters, and so many times over the years and still happening, you know, families do be separated and have a choice to make as to who to go to support. And at least, you know, the two teams are playing in the one ground. It's a great promotion of the game, but also as well, look, it creates a little bit of atmosphere and, you know, people on seats is what's needed, especially in the ladies game. And I think it's great. And as I said, it should have been happening a long time ago. I'm delighted it's happening. And I think we absolutely need to see more of it. And it is one of those simple steps that can be made before the whole integration process takes hold.
Yeah, like as you mentioned, Michelle, like the wheels are in motion in terms of integration between the three associations. But do you think in the meantime we should see more of these doubleheaders?
Absolutely. I couldn't stress that enough, Tomás. I really do. I think it's important, not just for the promotion of the game, but for just instilling that confidence and belief in the players that, you know, there's so many people behind them. Because, I mean, without the families of players, you know, a lot of the times in ladies football circles, especially, and sometimes I think I've been to a few of the men's football games as well, in the county scene in Waterford, you know, like without those core people there, you know, there wouldn't be many outside of that at times. And I think this just brings those two cohorts together, and then additional support added to that can only just greater enhance the whole experience, but not just the players, but for the supporters, promote the game, create a little bit of a positive atmosphere around football in the county. And I suppose after the success of both the men's and women's ladies football teams, in the last few weeks, I mean, that is well deserved, absolutely well deserved. And I really hope to see it happen a lot more.
You mentioned the big results that the ladies have picked up recently, Michelle. Like, it's 2 weeks since Waterford beat Galway and Ballinasloe and secured their Division 1 status. How big of an achievement was it to stay in the top flight?
It was an incredible achievement. And I don't say that lightly. Look, we're all previewing these things back in January and wondering and looking at the teams that are there. And even with our hearts firmly wanting Waterford to stay in Division 1, I suppose sometimes logic was taking hold and kind of thinking, Jesus, that's a tough group to be in. And they've battled relegation, I suppose, numerous times in the last few years, and a lot of people saying that they were probably one of the favourites to be relegated. And to succeed in that, and then to see the likes of Galway and Cork be relegated to Division 2, and now for next year you see Waterford and you see Kildare and Clare coming up into Division 1, that's a huge confidence booster. Not every team in Division 1 goes out and they place the biggest of emphasis on the league, but most of them do, because I suppose the likes of Dublin, likes of Kerry, they're seasoned performers, they've been in All Ireland, they have and rightly have a longer target at the end of the year. Whereas the teams who are not winning silverware, that bit of momentum at the start of the year is very, very important. We saw Waterford had a very good performance-wise league last year. They didn't manage to bring that into the Munster campaign on All-Ireland season. So the fact that they finished on, I would say, even a bigger boost than last year, staying in Division 1, because I suppose of the two teams, the strongholds that are actually gone down now, there should be even more confidence in the Waterford camp, a belief in themselves. And they're going into a Munster campaign now, and first game up against Cork, they've beaten Cork comprehensively in the league. Probably will be a slightly different story in regards to competitiveness on Saturday. But there is the possibility, the real, real possibility of getting to a Munster final, and that should be the biggest motivating factor for them.
Who will be the key players for Waterford on Saturday, Michelle?
There's a lot of the stalwarts that are there now with a number of years who are incredibly important and have shown themselves to be incredibly important. I regularly mention the likes of Emma Murray. I think she's an incredible engine for Waterford. And also Hannah Power, I think, in the back as well. She's a leader. Kellyanne Hogan, I think, had a very good league campaign. To be honest, I think was probably a little bit unlucky to miss out on a team of the league nomination or place on the team of the league for Division 1. because she really stepped up when Waterford needed her throughout that league campaign, especially in the last few games. But I have to say I've been very impressed in this league campaign with the likes of Alana McNulty and Anya O'Neill. I think really when it came to showing leadership, taking on the ball, taking it to the other teams, they were right there. And you know, you've newcomers in the team who are showing very well. Claire Welsh is showing very well, Mairead O'Brien, and we've talked about her before, and I suppose the dual aspect of that and juggling that, but how she's managed that so far has been remarkable. And you know, those new additions are adding well to a crop of players who are very experienced. And I hope that they play that same style of football that they were finishing that league campaign with, really going at teams, taking them on, being fearless, not waiting for others to take the responsibility and break through. And we saw that a lot in their last few games. And I think if they have that mindset, all of them as a unit, then they should aim to do well in this Munster campaign.
And to start off with Cork on Saturday, Michelle, they then have away trips to Tipperary and Kerry after that, with the top two competing in that provincial final. How do you see Saturday's game going?
I do expect there to be a kickback from Cork. I do expect it to be a more competitive. I do expect them to be wounded and to want to come back to prove a point as well, and to show that, you know, there's no writing them off. With that said, I think with the players that they have in there, Waterford can still capitalise on this. They really, if they can bring another level to their game, like I said, what worked that day in Porky Ring was a really direct route, that long kick out around to midfield, and then we had people getting on the ball and taking on the run, breaking through one or two support either side and directly resulting in a score. There was very little lateral play, and Cork's defence can be questionable there. They have coughed up an awful lot of scores. They have coughed up a lot of goals. And on the reverse, with regards to when Katie Quirk wasn't available, they were struggling to get scores. Key factor for Cork is whether those injuries are going to mean that Katie Quirk is available soon. Eimear Kiley, I know, is coming back from a cruciate injury that she got in the summer last year, as to whether she's going to be right for Munster campaign or maybe needs a little bit more time. And they would be key scoring threats for Cork. But for Waterford, it's for them to really focus on going at teams. Their defensive structure has worked well in those last few games. But I don't write off Cork. I do still see this as a very competitive game. Waterford need to be aware that they've conceded a large number of goals against Cork in recent years, and be aware of that. But I have no doubt that Pat Sullivan and Noel O'Connor are expecting a kickback and expecting that it's not going to be maybe the same encounter that it was in the league campaign.
And before you go, Michelle, just to bring you back a couple of years, like, you were on the field when Waterford last beat Cork in Munster in 2017, a game that was also played in Fraher Field. How special was that afternoon?
Tomás, if I was to look back now, I people would ask me what was one of my standout moments or standout memories in ladies football. Obviously, the 2015 in Intermediate Hull-Ireland is there, but I think I was so incredibly emotional after winning Munster Championship games in Fraher Field against Cork and against Kerry in 2017. Probably even more emotional than I was after winning the All-Ireland, because to me, it really signified a journey for Waterford. Years and years back in the early 2000s, we had been, I suppose, competing in Munster finals. We went through a long period not getting there and not being able to compete there. And to be able to, I suppose, overcome Cork at a time when they were still incredibly competitive, you know, competing not long after competing in All-Ireland themselves there, and Kerry, who were always stalwarts. You weren't sometimes sure where what kind of team would come with each year. We've seen what kind of team, incredible team they have now. But they were always stalwarts. And it really was, they were two special days. And getting to play in a Munster final in 2017 was incredibly special. And I suppose it's maybe a little regret that a lot of us would have, that we weren't able to get over that line when we had the chance to, maybe on that day. But there is no doubt in my mind. I mean, you have the same management team in place there. You have some of the same players there. I think they're going to be approaching it match on match, but I think in the back of their heads, there should be that belief that there's no reason why they can't get there.
Well, Michelle Ryan, you've been great with your time, as always. Thanks a million for taking our call this evening.
No problem, Tomás. Thank you.
That's all we've got time for on this week's show. A reminder that there's a George Corbett Skoda big match doubleheader on the way this weekend. On Saturday, it's the Munster Senior Football semi-final, Waterford versus Clare, live from Fraher Field at 5:45. And then on Sunday, the Munster Hurling Round 1 clash between Waterford and Cork, live from Welsh Park at 3:45. Thanks for your company as always. Slán go fóill.
Lár na Pórca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.